KIXI, dial 91 AM. 96
CBS FM. News. Apparently, some new snags have developed in the talks to free 7 hostages being held by 2 armed convicts in Washington. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Late Saturday night, a U.S. Marshal on duty said it appeared there had been a break in the stalemate and that it might be resolved before long. He said the 2 inmates had dropped their prime demand to be flown out of the country in exchange for release of the 7 hostages. But now it appears things may be back to where they were. A late report from Susan Peterson.
There is less optimism about the ongoing negotiations with the 2 convicts, Frank Gorham and Robert Jones, who have taken over the cell block at Federal District Court. Early this morning, the chief judge of Federal District Court, George Hart, told reporters, "We are spinning our wheels, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're still here at 10 in the morning." The judge put a damper on earlier indications that negotiations were nearing success, and the takeover could be resolved without bloodshed. It's been nearly 60 hours since the courthouse has been under siege. Susan Peterson, CBS News, at the Federal District Courthouse, Washington.
More news after this message.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your allergy to contact.
Now listen carefully, because this message may surprise you. There is an ingredient that can effectively help block pollen's bad effect on your system. Sneezing, sniffling, drips, itchy red watery eyes. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists, and it's an ingredient in Contac. Surprising, yes, but the true wonder of Contac is how our tiny time pills keep this antihistamine working, helping up to 12 hours per capsule, all day, all night. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
But give your allergy to Contac. Take Contac only when needed, only as directed.
There was trouble in the city jail in Baltimore Saturday night. Some youthful inmates went on a rampage and for a time held several guards hostage. Baltimore Mayor Donald Schaefer earlier this morning talked to reporters about the trouble.
I don't know what touched it off, but it's under control now. Apparently there were some hostages early. They have all been released. There were no serious injuries. I met with the warden and with the police commissioner. Situation is under control.
The trouble at the Baltimore City Jail came as many of the city's policemen remained on strike. Yesterday, a local judge ordered the policemen's union to end the strike, threatening heavy fines and jail for union leaders if the men are not back by Monday. National Guardsmen are on duty at the maximum security prison at Lucasville, Ohio, where guards are striking in a pay dispute. Food and other supplies, as well as non-striking personnel, were airlifted into the prison Saturday by helicopter. The warden says the prison inmates are cooperating to keep the prison operating smoothly. Some members of the state employees union say the walkout could spread next week to other state facilities, including mental hospitals and state liquor stores. The big General Motors complex in Lordstown, Ohio, has been a labor hotspot for years since the General Motors Assembly Division took over the plant there that makes the compact Chevrolet Vega. Again, there's labor trouble at Lordstown. The auto workers' union struck the plant Friday over unresolved local grievances. The strike idled 7,800 workers at the Vega plant, and its effects are slowing down other GM operations at Lordstown. The two sides are talking. Some of the grievances have been resolved. Voters in South Vietnam are starting to cast ballots as elections for province and city councils begin throughout the country. The Democracy Party of President Nguyen Van Thieu is expected to capture most of the seats. Candidates are largely ignoring the war issue, concentrating instead on economic problems and government corruption. The Viet Cong have condemned the elections. There are reports of terrorist activity as the battling got underway. Field reports indicated at least 9 people killed in these incidents. Now this.
Tuna fish salad again. What did your wife pack you?
Spare rib with sauce all over.
Yeah, and a box of napkins for the way you eat.
No, she packed soap and water to go.
When you want soap and water to go, you want wash and dry. They refresh while you scrub, get you clean like soap and water, and they can't fall apart like napkins can.
You mean to tell me you got soap and water in your lunch pail?
Yeah.
Shake it. I didn't hear nothing.
Wash and dry. Soap and water to go without the sloshing.
Hi, I'm Johnny Ray. 11 million Americans have an untreated hearing problem, including 3 million school-age kids. I was one of those kids, but I got help. Most hard of hearing people can be helped, either medically or through amplification. We have a Better Business Bureau pamphlet that may help you. It's free. Write Better Hearing Institute, Box 1840, Washington, D.C. You ought to hear what you're missing.
The nation's lieutenant governors have wound up their conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, passing a number of resolutions. The lieutenant governors approved one statement calling on Congress to expedite the impeachment proceedings against President Nixon. There was some debate over another resolution that finally did win approval, a resolution urging the federal government to try to persuade the Soviet Union to ease its policy restricting Jewish immigration. Some of the lieutenant governors said the issue was unrelated to the individual states. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, KIXI.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to our world of mystery and the macabre. Sit back and lend us your fears. Have you ever seen a ghost? It is an experience of such horror as to turn your blood to ice. Oh, I know, there are those who scoff, but they have never met a ghost. Mel Stout was a scoffer, but not his wife, Liz. And on the night they first drove up Gormley Gorge Road to Gormley Lodge...
All right, Mel, you laugh if you want to, but the fact remains that the Putnams were driven off the bridge over Gormley Gorge by a ghost driver in another car.
Who says?
The sheriff. He told me that the wife lived long enough to tell the story. How a car driven by a skeleton came driving straight at them, and her husband swerved aside, and off the bridge they went.
She was dying. She was in a state of shock.
No! What? Now there's a car! It's coming out of the
Holy
bridge!
Holy Toledo! Oh, my gosh. He went right by. You and your ghost drivers, Liz. It was just another car, and it passed us.
Yes, it passed us. This time.
Our mystery drama, The Ghost Driver, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lothar and stars Augusta Dabney and Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule, and new sugar-free diet 7-Up. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. Contact.
Now listen carefully, because this message may surprise you. There is an ingredient that can effectively help block pollen's bad effect on your system. Sneezing, sniffling, drips, itchy red watery eyes. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists, and it's an ingredient in Contact. Surprising, yes, but the true wonder of Contact is how our tiny time pills keep this antihistamine working, helping. Up to 12 hours per capsule, all day, all night. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
But give your allergy to Contact. Take Contact only when needed, only as directed.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Honey, just look at this fantastic buy I made. This came from a catalog at $47.45. And the manufacturer's list price is $89.95. I can't believe it.
Well, don't believe it. Your $47.45 price is pretty good. Only I've been looking around, and believe me, no one is selling them for list price.
You mean I was taken? I got a bad deal? Gosh, I wonder how I could really find out.
Help you?
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau.
You know, catalogs sometimes list two prices for an item. One is the list price, and the other is what you pay. And the only way you can be sure is to shop around.
You are so smart.
Oh, not at all. Your Better Business Bureau is better information for consumers like you.
Ghosts exist? Mel Stout doesn't think so. But his wife, Liz, feels differently. If it had been up to Liz, they'd never have bought Gormley Lodge on top of Manitou Mountain in Colorado. Why? Because according to local legend, the former owners, the Putnams, had been sent crashing to their death by a ghost driver who came at them head on. Now, in the living room of the lodge...
Liz, I've had it up to here with that brother of yours.
Oh, now, Mel.
I mean, he promised to help finish painting his living room before the Duncans arrived tonight, and where is he?
Mel,
I'll tell you where he is. He is out on the slope skiing, enjoying himself as usual.
Well, you just be reasonable. Now, if we didn't have Rory, where would we get a ski instructor, I'd like to know? We certainly can't afford to hire one, any more than we could afford to have this place painted.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just that I've got so darn much on my mind... Liz, I just hope that I haven't made the mistake of my life and yours.
We'll make a go of the lodge. We're off to a pretty good start. The Duncans arrive tonight, and they're booked for a full week. And the Todds and the Morgans arrive next week.
Yeah, and after that?
Well, darling, our newspaper ads ought to get us more customers. Just ask yourself, darling, what would you rather be doing now? Painting the living room of your own ski lodge? With paying guests arriving tonight? Or slaving away at your old accounting job in Aspen?
Well, at least that brought a check in every week.
Oh, Mel, you've wanted to be your own boss for years. And so we bought this old mansion on top of Manitou Mountain to start our own ski lodge. The old Gormley Mansion. And we're going to keep at it until we make a success of it.
Liz, you're marvelous.
Oh, there's somebody at the front door. I'll get it. Oh, Mrs. Gormley.
Come to pay you a visit, Miss Stout. My first formal visit.
Well, that's very good of you, Mrs. Gormley. Won't you come in?
All right, Jason, you heard the lady. Wheel me in.
Yes, Mother.
You know my son, Jason? You've met?
Yes, briefly. Mel, the Gormleys have come to pay a visit.
Nice to see you, Mrs. Gormley. Jason, hope you don't mind if I finish this painting.
Oh, go right ahead. I'd give you a hand, old as I am, but my arthritis keeps me in this wheelchair. Jason, why don't you...
No, thanks. I couldn't think of asking a fine arts painter to
Fine arts. You hear that, Jason? Mr. Stout complimented you, called the mountain scenes you paint fine art.
Well, they are. Why, I saw some of them in the ski shop in town. They're very good. Do you sell many?
A few.
Oh, just enough to cover the cost of the paint and canvas. Oh, yes, and a quart of whiskey now and then.
Mother, please.
Well, now, if they don't hear it from me, Jason, they'll hear it from others.
A drink now and then.
Now and then. Tell the Souths how you play Russian roulette with that old revolver of your father's when you're drunk.
Stop it, Mother, stop it.
Perhaps you'd like some coffee, Mrs. Gormley, or tea. It won't take a minute.
No, thank you. We won't be here that long. Now, I've come to do for you what I did for the Putnams. Them that bought my house out from under me 3 years ago.
Out from under you? Mrs. Gormley, are you saying that we have done that? Forced you out of your house?
Well, haven't you? Oh, it's not your fault. Jason's father left us destitute. Left me destitute, I should say. With a son too lazy to support his old mother. So I had to sell this beautiful place.
Mother, the Stouts aren't interested in all this past history.
Well, they'd better be if they value their lives.
Value our lives?
Well, Mr. Halliday didn't tell you, of course.
Tell us what?
About how the Putnams met their death.
Why, yes. The real estate man told us about the accident.
That was no accident. No more than my husband's death was an accident.
He died in the same way? His car crashed off the bridge into the gorge?
Right. 800 feet down into the gorge, to the rocks 800 feet below. But no accident. Suicide.
The Putnams didn't commit suicide.
Not them. My husband, Jason Sr., raving drunk and suicidal, but theirs was no accident either, the Putnams. He drove them off that bridge.
Who?
My husband.
Now, wait a minute, Mrs. Gormley. If your husband was dead...
Hi. I am back.
Oh, sure. Naturally, Rory. Now, the painting job is nearly done.
Oh, now, don't get uptight, Mel. I just didn't remember till I was out on the slopes. Hi, Mrs. Gormley. Jason. Paying a little social call?
It's anything but social.
Mrs. Gormley, are you saying that your husband, even though he was dead, somehow killed the Putnams?
Liz, come on now.
All right, I'll tell you. After my husband's death, when I realized I'd been left penniless, that I'd have to sell this place, I fell into a state of depression. When the Putnams bought Gormley Lodge, well, they were going to use it as a winter home, not turn it into a ski resort like you. When they bought it, and I had to move into the little guest house, I was so sad I thought I'd die. For days and days, I sat and wept, and then one night, my husband come to me.
Your husband? You dreamed?
It was no dream. Oh, it was my husband. His ghost.
Oh, for the love.
Rory, Rory.
Stood at the foot of my bed, and he begged my forgiveness for leaving me a pauper and breaking my heart. And he said, Jessica, I promise you'll live in Gormley House again. And then he vanished. The very next night, the Putnams crashed through the bridge over Gormley Gorge.
Well, accidents do happen.
It was no accident. Now, the real estate man didn't tell you the whole story. Mrs. Putnam lived long enough to tell just what had happened. You can ask the sheriff. The Putnams didn't go off the bridge by accident. They were driven off it. Forced to swerve off it by an oncoming car. A car driven by a skeleton.
Good heavens.
That's what I wanted to tell you. And now you know. Good day.
Well, what kind of a put-on is this? She's trying to scare us out of here.
I'm trying to save your lives.
You're trying to get back into this house. That's what you're doing. Just the way you moved back after the Putnams got killed and lived here a full 3 years until now.
Rory, have some respect.
Respect?
For
the... No way. She may be old, but she's as shrewd as they come. She frightens you off, then moves back in again and stays until some other sucker comes
I
along.
I warn you,
just
you're...
let us know when your husband's ghost shows up again.
It did.
What?
Last night.
Oh, man, this is the neatest ripoff. Oh,
shut up, Rory, will you? Your husband's ghost? Last night?
Yes, and he used the same words. Jessica, I promise you'll live in Gormley Lodge again. Oh, I beg you, listen to me. The Putnams wouldn't and went to their death.
Oh, Mrs. Gormley, you're really out of sight.
So smart. You're so sure of yourself. You think he isn't watching and listening, my husband? Do you think he doesn't know how you insulted me? Do you think he'll not repay you? Oh, yes. If people are to die this time, too, you will be the first. Now be warned. Jason, wheel me back. Be warned.
Rory, you shouldn't have talked to Mrs. Gormley like that.
You didn't spring for that crazy story, did you?
I don't know. I wonder.
What, Liz?
Mel, call the sheriff. Find out if Mrs. Gormley's telling the truth.
Oh, come on, Liz. I look like a fool. Anyhow, I've got to finish this paint job. What? Liz, you're not...
I must find out.
Suit yourself. You always do.
Sheriff Harper speaking.
Oh, Sheriff. This is Elizabeth Stout calling. We're the new owners of Gormley House.
Oh, yes. What can I do for you, Mrs. Stout?
Well, we just had a visit from Mrs. Gormley.
Oh?
What do you mean, oh?
Oh, nothing, Mrs. Stout, only... She can be a little hard to take, getting on in years.
Yes, well, what I wanted to ask you... Of course, you remember the accident to the Putnams 3 years ago, crashing off the bridge over Gormley Gorge.
Yes, I remember.
Well, according to Mrs. Gormley, Mrs. Putnam lived long enough to tell you what had caused the accident. Is that so?
Yes, it is.
And what did she tell you?
Well, now, Mrs. Stout, she was near death. Maybe out of her head with pain and shock.
What did she tell you, Sheriff? Did she tell you that they had been forced to swerve off the bridge because of another car that came straight at them? A car with a skeleton driving it?
Well, as I said, she was out of her head.
Did she?
Yes, that's the story she told me.
Thank you. Goodbye.
So?
Mrs. Gormley told the truth.
A Putnam woman was dying. Anybody in that condition is liable to say anything.
I suppose.
Now, look, just get off it, Liz. We put our life savings, every cent we've got in this place, and I'm not leaving, ghost or no ghost.
Well, speaking of leaving, I'd better get on down into Manitou and pick up the Duncans at the airport.
Well, it's a bit early, isn't it? Or have you got some cute chick in town that you'd like to spend an hour or so with?
Mel, you put me away.
Don't give me any ideas, Rory.
This is some road, Rory. You drive it often? In the dark, I mean?
A few times, Mr. Duncan.
Well, it's frightfully steep and curvy.
Now, don't push the panic button, Mrs. Duncan. I'll get you to the top of Manitou Mountain safe enough. You'll be enjoying a hot toddy in front of the fireplace at Gormley Lodge before you know it.
Maybe you better slow down a little.
Ah, it's okay. That was just a patch of loose shale. You much of a skier, Mr. Duncan?
Oh, I do okay. My wife will need some lessons, though. I take it Gormley Lodge has a pro.
Oh, the best.
Me. Well, fine. Say, this road is steep and curvy. Must be pretty spectacular. Views, I mean, in the daytime.
It's spectacular enough right now, what I can see in the headlights.
We've got some views, all right. There's one, it's real cool, from the bridge over Gormley Gorge.
Steep?
800 feet straight down. It's too bad there isn't a moon tonight. I'd stop on the bridge and let you have a look.
What's that sound?
We're crossing the bridge now. A wooden bridge over Gormley Gorge. About 500 feet across. Hey!
What's the lights of a car coming fast. That damn fool is coming straight at us.
Get over!
It's a skeleton!
A skeleton driving that car! Hey! We're going off the bridge!
Have you ever seen a ghost? I asked you. Well, if you haven't seen one before, you've seen one now. I don't know about you, but I'd like to take a break to, well, steady my nerves. I'll be back shortly with Act Two. If you have the nerve to return, that is.
You've been hearing some pretty lavish claims recently about miles per gallon. We'd like you to consider something equally important, and that's range. Range is the miles per gallon multiplied by the number of gallons your car's tank holds. Range is what makes the Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Oh, sure. You can talk about good-tasting diet drinks, but I know. I'm Goldilocks, and here at my taste-testing laboratory, I taste-test them all. And nobody's been drinking my diet drinks until I tested sugar-free diet 7-Up. And then, kabloomy, every bear wanted some. Diet 7-Up is fresh, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up. This one's just right.
You're 17. Well, that's plenty old. Old enough to know about things like grass and speed and acid and smack. We probably can't tell you anything about the stuff you haven't already heard, or maybe even found out for yourself. So we don't intend to give you any advice. You wouldn't listen. But the trouble is, neither will your kid brother. He doesn't know half of what you know. He doesn't know how dope can affect your body. He's never spent a violent night hugging a friend who was on a bad trip or watch a guy nod off in class and fall to the floor. He's just a kid. And a real setup for anybody out there selling the stuff. We'd like to warn your little brother. Too bad he doesn't trust us. We can't get to him. But maybe you can.
An Advertising Council campaign.
Terror, unless you have experienced it, is only a word. I could employ all the art at my command, my voice, the words I choose, to convey to you the full impact of terror. Yet, I know I should fail, even as Michael Duncan fails now in telling his story to Sheriff Harper on the bridge over Gormley Gorge the next morning.
Terror? You say you experience terror?
What would you experience, Sheriff? The light?
Mr. Duncan, I'm only trying to get at what happened here last night.
Excuse me, Sheriff.
Yes, Mr. Stout, what is it?
Will it be much longer before they get the bodies up?
Hard to say. Why?
I'd like to get back to the lodge. My wife is alone, and you can imagine her condition after hearing of her brother's death. Say nothing of how it happened.
Sure, sure, you go ahead. I'll let you know when you're needed to identify the bodies. I'm sorry about your brother-in-law, Mr. Stout. And the publicity.
Publicity?
And this is the second time the ghost driver has struck.
Ghost driver?
And the news has got out. I hear they're sending reporters over from Aspen.
That's great. That's just what I need. That'll end my ski resort business for good. Not that it ever got started.
Wait a few minutes and I'll ride back up with you. Nothing I can do either till they recover Jill's body.
Oh, yes, there is, Mr. Duncan. You can give me a full account.
Now, look, Sheriff, I've told you all I know. We were driving across this bridge when we saw this other car coming straight at us. Stout's brother-in-law was driving. He swerved to avoid the oncoming car and went through the guardrail. In the split second between swerving and going through the rail, I leapt clear and saved myself. I wish I could say the same for that boy and Jill, my wife.
About the skeleton at the wheel of the other car.
Why do you keep harping on that?
Because it's something to harp on. If you saw a skeleton driving that car...
I didn't.
You said...
I know what I said, but... Well, I've got to be wrong. I couldn't have seen what I thought I did.
Why not?
Because I don't believe in skeletons driving cars. I don't believe in ghosts.
Now, take it easy, Mr. Duncan. All I'm after is a complete report. The fact.
All you're after is the publicity you're going to get out of this. Put you on the map, won't it, Sheriff? Why, you might even get a job in one of the big Colorado ski resorts like Aspen or Vail.
That'll be enough, Mr. Duncan. You can go. I'll phone the lodge when I need you.
Mrs. Gormley.
Well, invite me in, Miss Stout.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, I'm surprised to see that you're not in a wheelchair.
Oh, it depends on how bad my arthritis kicks up. Sometimes I can walk with a cane, like now.
I see.
Is your husband home?
No, he's down at the bridge with Mr. Duncan.
Oh, the fellow whose wife got killed, huh?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about your brother, too, even though he asked for it.
Mrs. Gormley, I
Your brother's
just can't talk
dead
about
because
it.
He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't heed my warning. Now you listen, child. You heed my warning. Make your husband listen and take warning, too. You leave this place. Leave it today.
Don't think I wouldn't. We wouldn't if we could. We can't. All our savings are tied up at Gormley Lodge.
Listen to me, listen. Now, my dead husband came to me again last night. And he promised me again I'd return to this house.
You love this old house, don't you?
Well, it was my life. You're a woman. You understand how that is.
Yes.
I came here a bride 40 years ago. Jason, senior, that is. He was just starting his career as a painter. Jason, my son, was born here. There was another child, a little girl. She died here. No, this house isn't made of wood and stone.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh. Oh, I think they've come back.
Yes. My husband and Mr. Duncan are back.
I'll go then.
Oh, well, Mrs. Gormley, I'm going to put some coffee on. You stay. Have a cup.
No. I can't bear to go on looking at people who I know are going to die.
What's this? Die? Who's going to die now?
You are, Mr. Stout. You and your wife. If you don't heed my warning and leave as soon as possible.
Now, what's all this, Stout? Who is this woman?
Jessica Gormley used to own this place.
Oh, the woman you told me about. The one who claims her husband's ghost visits her.
I don't just claim it. It's true. Who are you?
My name's Michael Duncan.
Oh, yes, yes. The one whose wife went to her death in the gorge last night. Well, you take my advice, too. You leave here. Leave as fast as you can.
How about a drink, Stout?
Oh, so you two won't listen. The ghost driver killed your wife last night, and yet you won't listen. Well, let me warn you once and for all.
What was that?
A shot. It was a gunshot.
Jason! Oh, it's happened. He's killed himself.
She's fallen. Liz, help her up and keep her here. Duncan, you come with me.
Mr. Stout, what do you want?
Ah, you're okay, Jason.
We heard a gunshot.
What of it?
Well, we've heard of you and your little games, like Russian roulette, and we thought that you...
That I'd shot myself? No such luck. Come in, if you want to.
Oh, the gunshot we heard.
I fired it. Deliberately.
You fired that shot deliberately?
You ask a lot of questions. For someone I haven't even met.
It's Mike Duncan. He and his wife are to be my first guests. It was his wife who got killed last night.
Oh. I'm sorry. How did you escape?
Flung myself from the car just before it went through the guardrail.
Well, you'd better keep an eye out for the old man's ghost. He'll be after you.
Now, Mr. Gormley, I don't believe in ghosts. Now, why did you fire that revolver?
What business is it? All right. I'll tell you. You'll think it's nutty.
I'm sure.
I've been playing Russian roulette with this gun for years, ever since my father died. And I always win. Or lose, depending on how you look at it.
And how do you look at it, Jason?
I give it to you straight, Mr. Stout. I want to lose. For years now, I've picked up the gun. Like this. Oh, no, not every day. Maybe once a week. Once every other week. Whenever the mood comes on me. And I put it to my temple. Like this.
Wait a minute.
Don't worry. Gun's empty. I haven't put in a fresh bullet yet. You see, the reason I deliberately fired that bullet I had in this gun was to find out if the thing was a dud. It wasn't.
Too bad.
May I shake your hand, Mr. Duncan? You're the first man I've ever met who says what he thinks.
You want to kill yourself? Go ahead.
I like you. You do speak your mind. And now, gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get back to this painting of mine. By the way, what do you think of it?
Pretty lurid, isn't it?
That's just the right word for it, Mr. Stout. See? There's the car swerving and crashing through the bridge. The oncoming ghost car with the skeleton at the wheel. All in flaming color. I knock out one an hour. I slap a frame on it and I sell it in Manitou for $20. So excuse me, will you? Business is going to pick up. Thanks to last night. And I want to be ready to supply the demand.
It's been a rough 24 hours, Miss Stout. It's a nice chair. Just right for sitting in front of a fire. Cost you plenty, I'll bet.
Yes, plenty. But that isn't what I'm thinking about.
You're thinking about your brother and my wife lying in their coffins at the undertaker's in Manitou.
Yes, and possible so that even a small village like Manitou has an undertaker.
Birth, death, taxes. The only sureties in life, Mrs. Stout.
Liz.
Mike. I like your husband.
Me too.
He told me about everything. About what getting this ski resort means to you. Your life savings invested, all that.
All down the drain, I'm afraid.
The publicity?
What else? Every reservation's canceled. Well, all except one. But that'll come in, too.
It has, Liz.
Yes?
There it is. Please cancel my reservation for next week, Frank Norton. As a family of four. Telegram phoned in from Aspen. Anybody got a sponge?
A sponge?
So I can throw it in. I'm through, Mike.
You always give up this easy?
What do you mean, easy?
Just that. Do you always fade when the going gets tough? Well, this is the time to start fighting. Does it make good sense to let all this go down the drain because somebody's playing a trick on you? A murderous trick?
Do you think it's a trick?
What else could it be? A skeleton driving a ghost car? What else but a trick? Well, what else?
You were in that car last night. You saw. And it was a skeleton behind the wheel of the oncoming car. You told the sheriff that. You can still say that...
That it was a trick, yes.
What kind of trick? Damn it, Mike, you admit you saw a skeleton driving a car, but you can still call it a trick? I see you don't answer.
Look, Mel, I'm a practical man, a businessman. You think being a businessman is simple? Oh, no. I've had troubles that would make yours look like nothing. Today you won't find anybody more successful than me. But I've been bankrupt twice. Yes, and paid off every cent. How? Well, not by running away the way you want to, but by standing up and fighting. And that's what you've got to do right now.
How? You tell me how and I'll do it.
We'll do it together. I've got a stake in this too, you know. My wife is dead. Murdered, yes, murdered. Not by a ghost, but by a trick. And if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to find out who played that trick and make him pay.
And you don't think it's a ghost?
Do you? Answer me. Do you believe in ghosts? Did you believe before you came here and ran into this mess you're in?
Well, no, I didn't.
Then why start believing now? Ghosts, my foot. Now, this is a trick. Somebody wants to stop you from turning Gormley Lodge into a ski resort. And if you ask me, it's the Gormleys. One or the other or both is behind all this. Or that sheriff down in Manitou.
The sheriff? Oh, Mike, you don't really think that the sheriff...
I don't know what to think, Liz. All I know is that somebody's behind this. And those are the three likeliest suspects. Now, look, I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but I've got a brain. And I've got guts. And well, my wife is dead. My Jill. Well, I'm just going to find out who killed her, that's all.
Tougher they are.
You like a drink, Mike?
No, thanks. I'll be okay. Especially when I nail that murderer.
What have you got in mind?
Well, it'll be dark in about an hour. We take the car, Mel. You and me. We take the car, and we drive up and down that road. All night, if necessary. To meet up with this so-called ghost driver. And when and if we meet up with him.
Yes. If and when you meet up with him, what?
We don't turn aside. We don't swerve out of his path and off the bridge. We drive straight at him and keep driving at him. If he's a ghost in a ghost car, we'll drive through him.
And if he isn't?
If he isn't? Well, if he isn't, it'll be one hell of a crash.
You out there listening. What would you do? If you were Mel Stout, would you accept Mike Duncan's challenge? If you were Liz Stout, would you let your husband accept it? It can mean his death, you know. What exactly would you do? I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look,
Rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then, open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Ranger and Tonto are camped in the woods just outside of town when suddenly the great horse Silver rears and...
Kimasabi!
Yes, Tonto. Silver senses trouble. Come on.
Quickly, the masked rider of the plains and his faithful Indian companion head into the thick underbrush.
Smell smoke, Kimasabi. Over there, Tonto. Hurry.
Suddenly, they come upon a clearing, and there, just inches from the hanging branches of a giant tree, a smoldering campfire.
Quick, Tonto. Grab that empty bucket.
As Tonto hurries to a nearby stream, the Lone Ranger stirs the fire until the embers cool. Then Tonto returns and drowns the fire twice.
Good work, Tonto.
But what about men who start fire?
Well, Tonto, they have a choice. Either they'll put an end to careless fires, or they'll put an end to the forest. Let's go.
Public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
Two men are now driving the twisting, precipitous mountain road that leads to Gormley Lodge. One, Mike Duncan, believes that the ghost driver they hope to meet is nothing but a trick. Mel Stout, his life savings, every penny at stake, has had no choice but to go along.
Mike, I'm bushed. Let's make this the last trip.
We're going to drive up and down this road till dawn. Yes, and night after night if we have to. Until we meet up with our so-called ghost driver.
This is the sixth time we've been up and down this mountain road.
Okay. Pull over. I'll drive. Get out your side. I'll slip behind the wheel.
Yeah. Hey, there's a car coming up behind us. Red light flash. That must be the sheriff. Yeah, it's the sheriff, all right.
And Mr. Stout. Oh, and you, Mr. Duncan.
What are you doing here, Sheriff?
Well, that's what I want to ask you. I got a report from Mountain View House across the valley there that they were seeing headlights going up and down this road. Guess I don't have to tell you everybody around here is on edge after what happened last night. Now, what are you up to?
We're not up to anything, Sheriff. We're driving this road in hopes of meeting up with whoever or whatever killed my wife and Mr. Stout's brother-in-law.
We'll get yourselves killed in the bargain? Oh, no. You drive on up to Gormley Lodge, and when you get there, stay there.
You make that sound like an order, Sheriff.
That's what it is, Mr. Stout.
Well, I guess we better do like he says, Mike.
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't. This is a public road. We've got a right to be on it. Unless we're doing something that breaks the law, and we're not.
You're a kind of troublemaker, Mr. Duncan, aren't you?
Sheriff, I never go looking for trouble, but I know how to handle it when it comes my way. Now, either you arrest us for breaking some law or other, in which case you'd better be prepared to back it up, or I'll sue the town of Manitou and you for false arrest, or get off our backs.
I'm not on your backs. I'm trying to save your lives. Take my advice.
Advice, huh? I thought it was an order.
All right, wise guy. Have it your way. Go ahead and get killed and be damned to you.
Let's go, Mel.
You can sure sound tough, Mike.
No small town sheriff pushes me around.
Well, he's only trying to do his job.
Maybe. And maybe not.
What do you mean?
I don't know. But that's what we're going to find out. Tonight, tomorrow night, or whenever. Now, there's the bridge ahead.
Yeah, maybe you better slow down.
No. If it's a ghost, we'll go through it. If it isn't...
Mike,
Headlights coming toward us.
Now, look, don't lose your nerve.
Coming closer. We're going to crash if you don't... Mike! Driving that car, it's roaring!
Your brother-in-law, my God!
Mel, Mike, I can't believe it.
Can't believe it myself, Liz. Not only what we saw, but getting out of it with our lives.
The fates were with us, Mel. I lost my nerve. I have to admit that. I just couldn't keep driving straight at that awful thing coming toward us. I couldn't help myself. I swerved at the last second.
Well, thank God we hit that stanchion instead of going off the bridge.
But Rory driving the other car, it's impossible. Rory's dead. We're burying him tomorrow.
Rory's dead, that's for sure. But it was Rory driving that car, that's for sure, too.
Then ghosts do exist? Mel?
Yes, hon?
After the funeral tomorrow, let's get out of here. Let's go away from this place as fast as we can.
And go where?
Back to Aspen, of course.
Liz, we're broke. We haven't enough dough left for a motel room. Where would we stay? How would we live?
Mel, I didn't know things were that bad for you.
Putting this place back in shape cost me just about every penny I had.
Well, look, would a loan help?
You'd be willing to...
Well, sure. I like you two, and, well, the way things turned out, we've gotten to know each other real fast. Practically friends. So... Well, if you can use a loan...
That's generous of you, Mike.
It is generous of you, Mike, and I appreciate it, but... No, thanks.
What'll you do?
Do what you said I ought to do. Fight this thing.
Liz, Mike, if you ever come east, be sure to look me up.
We will, Mike.
Yes, of course.
You won't change your mind about the loan?
Can't. Would only be putting off what's bound to happen. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless I can find the answer to what goes on here. There's something bothering me, something I feel that I saw somewhere but didn't pay much attention to at the time.
Well, what about it, this something?
It's just something that's bothering me is all. Something that just could give me the answer to all of this.
Hmm. Well... Good luck. You deserve it. Oh, there's the taxi that's going to take me to the airport. Goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye, Mike.
Bye-bye, Mike. Bye. And thanks. Well, we'd better get on back, Liz. Liz, you coming?
Yes. Mel, you better know it now. No matter what you intend to do, I won't be staying. Mel, we've got to face the facts. Buying this place was a big mistake. I admit it now. But there's no sense in crying over spilt milk. What's done is done. So, darling, let's just turn our backs on it, walk away from it, and start again.
Start what again? The treadmill of office work? The dreary day-to-day monotony of auditing accounts, toting up figures? I can't bear to go back to that kind of life. I have got to make a go of this. I don't have any other choice.
But is it worth your life? Ghost or no ghost, Mel, it's killed 4 people. It would have been 6 if you and Mike Duncan hadn't been lucky enough to hit that stanchion. And it will be 6 if you insist on driving that road again tonight.
6? How do you make it 6?
You don't think I'm going to let you do it alone, do you?
But at the funeral, you said that you weren't even going to stay.
Because I hoped that would change your mind. But it hasn't. So you see... I have no choice either.
It's just like last night with Mike. From the top of the mountain down to Manitou, then back up again and again, and no sign of him.
But he did show, finally.
And Mike lost his nerve, swerved aside at the last second. Let's hope I don't lose mine.
Will it matter?
What do you mean?
Well, if you lose your nerve, we'll go off the bridge. If you don't, and the ghost car isn't a ghost car, we'll be killed in the crash.
If there is a crash, but there won't be.
You seem awfully sure of that.
I am. Remember at the cemetery I told Mike there was something I had seen but hadn't paid any attention to?
Yes.
And that if I could only remember what it was, I'd have the answer to all of this?
Yes.
Well, it's come to me. Driving up and down the mountain tonight, it suddenly came to me. See, it wasn't something I'd seen. It was something I'd heard and paid no attention to. Something I knew but didn't realize what it meant. And if I'm right, Liz, if I'm right...
What is it? What did you remember?
We're on the bridge now. Let me concentrate on driving.
Mel, there it is. The ghost car is coming straight for us.
Yes.
And behind the wheel, driving it, it's Rory. Oh, my God, it's Rory.
Oh, we buried Rory.
But then it's his ghost, Mel.
Get your hands off the wheel.
Mel,
don't try to turn the wheel.
We're going to crash.
Help.
Mel. What?
This time he swerved and he went off the bridge, just as I knew he would.
How did you know?
Later, Liz. Right now, we better get up to the lodge and phone the sheriff.
Oh, come in, Mrs. Gormley. Mel? Mrs. Gormley's here. Please, won't you sit down?
Yeah, thank you.
Hello, Mrs. Gormley. I'm sorry about last night.
I'm not.
Mrs. Gormley, Jason was your son.
Oh, he was the torment of my life. Every day I lived. Of course, I'm sorry he's dead, but... Well, I can only be glad it's over for me.
Did you know that your son was the ghost driver?
I suspected. But I was never sure. You see, it was Jason who wanted to go on living here in this house far more than I did. Oh, you can understand. He was born here. He grew up here. Started his painting career here in a fine big studio upstairs.
Tragic. Just tragic.
Even more tragic if it hadn't been for you. How did you come to know? What made you realize that my son was the ghost driver?
A gunshot.
A gunshot?
The shot he fired to see whether the bullet he used for playing Russian roulette was live or not.
Well, I don't follow you.
You see, something kept bugging me, Mrs. Gormley, but I couldn't nail it down because I kept thinking it was something that I'd seen. But then suddenly I realized it wasn't something I'd seen, but something I'd heard. That gunshot. It got me to thinking about Jason playing Russian roulette, playing with life and death. And that got me to thinking a step further. Sure, Russian roulette. Only a fool or a would-be suicide would play it. But the fact remains that the odds are in his favor. Every time Jason spun the barrel of that gun and pulled the trigger, the chances were 5-1 against firing the bullet.
Oh, but what was the connection between that and the ghost driver?
Driving a car straight at another car is just another form of Russian roulette.
Ah, yes, I see. Well, Sheriff Harper came to see me, and he said Jason was wearing a mask, a paper mache mask of your brother's face.
Yes, and it wasn't a very good likeness of my brother. But it didn't have to be. It looked enough like him to fool you when you saw it under those awful conditions. The night and the headlights and the car coming straight at you. Fear did the rest.
There must be another mask, the skeleton face.
Oh, there is. We searched the studio and we found it, Sheriff Harper and me. Yeah, well, it's all over. Jason's at peace at last. God knows I soon shall be. Well, good day. It's funny, though.
What, Mrs. Gormley?
Well, we've searched and we've searched, but we couldn't find a mask of my husband's face.
What made you think there was one?
Well, you see, when I heard about the masks, I thought it must have been Jason who came and stood at the foot of my bed. Not my husband's ghost. But if it wasn't Jason, who was it? What was it?
an interesting question. What was it indeed? Makes you wonder. Does the spirit live on? Are there such things as ghosts? Think about it. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, Ms. Goldilocks here. Professionally, taste testing diet drinks can be very difficult, but I've just had to bear with it. Then I found sugar-free diet 7-Up. It doesn't taste like other diet drinks. It's fresh, light, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that I've taste tested it hundreds of times, and each time I've given it my seal of approval. Yes, this one's just right.
Buick introduces a new concept for you to consider in light of all the concern about miles per gallon. Range. Range is what you get when you multiply the mileage your car gets per gallon by the number of gallons your car's gas tank holds. Range is one of the things that help make Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon gas tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
I think you'll be glad to know that Mel and Liz made a go of Gormley Lodge and are today the owners of a successful ski resort. Old Mrs. Gormley passed on a few years ago. When the guest cottage was renovated, a really thorough search was made for that mask of Jason Sr.'s face, but no sign of it was ever found. Curious. Very. Our cast included Augusta Dabney, Mason Adams, Mary Jane Higby, Norman Rose, Nick Pryor, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
As we moved into that parlor, I was super conscious of my host's reaction to the parcel he bore in his hands. Although there was no superscription from the sender, I had an infallible feeling that he sensed exactly where it had come from. That somehow I was accidentally part of a climax in the life of this strange and vital man.
We've talked about my trophies, Monsieur Donnet.
Yes.
The ones I've mounted, the others too clumsy and large to render that way.
Yes.
And the third, so far, I've had no right nor courage to mount.
What are you saying, Sir John?
There is no reason for my receiving this parcel that I can conceive, except one. That I've found no refuge here. I've been betrayed.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KIXI, dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
CBS News. Authorities are still trying to arrange the release of 7 hostages being held by 2 armed convicts inside the federal courthouse in Washington. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The latest developments in the Washington story, reported by John Meyer.
Mark Sheehan, Assistant Director of Public Information at the Justice Department, has just given waiting newsmen here outside the courthouse a briefing on the latest development in this siege.
The negotiations are continuing. Frank Gorham asked that his 2 sisters join him. They just have. As long as the talks continue, we remain hopeful. The mood on both sides gives every appearance of reasonableness, and we mean to keep it that way.
Sheehan was interrupted by a reporter who said convict Gorham, in a telephone conversation over a local radio station, had just complained that his sisters had not entered the basement area where the convicts and their hostages are holed up. Sheehan said there might have been some delay in the Gorham sisters reaching the area, but that they were being escorted there. Sheehan promised another report on the situation 4 hours from now. John Meyer, CBS News at the U.S. Courthouse in Washington.
I'll have more news after this message.
I'm Ron Swoboda for CBS Radio. You can hear me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday now on Worldwide Sports. I alternate with colleague Pat Summerall, who's here every Tuesday and Thursday. On every broadcast, along with the latest scores, we try to bring you interviews with top figures in the world of sports and then give you a good idea of what's coming up. Join Pat and me, won't you, for complete national and international sports coverage on Worldwide Sports every Monday through Friday over the CBS Radio Network.
Spruce and maple trees give us the violin. And if we don't stop burning them down, we'll have a little less music. We'll also have a little less lumber, a little less paper, a little less rayon, a little less alcohol, a little less maple syrup, a little less printing ink, a little less turpentine.
A public service. Charcoal. On behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council. National Guard troops and non-striking personnel are helping to keep things going at the maximum security prison in Lucasville, Ohio, where prison guards are on strike in a pay dispute. Lucasville Warden Joseph Havner says there are some problems.
It's inconvenient, Gus. We've got employees here who haven't been home and haven't been out of this institution for, well, now the 4th day. And certainly it's inconvenient, and we're not doing any of our regular programs. We're not running our production shops. We're not operating our school. Religious services haven't been held, so many of the things we normally do are not being done. We're just sort of maintaining the place, feeding the residents, and providing them with recreation and so forth. It's no way to run a prison.
Havner says the inmates are cooperating. There's been no word of any major trouble at Lucasville since the prison guards began the strike 3 days ago. Police late last night restored order inside the Baltimore City Jail, where a number of youthful inmates went on a rampage, breaking furniture and seizing 4 guards. The hostages were later freed unharmed, but there is a report one guard may have suffered a heart attack in the melee. The trouble broke out as many Baltimore policemen remained on strike. A local judge is threatening to jail police union leaders and impose stiff fines if the men are not ordered back by Monday. Vice President Ford says he still does not think there is any evidence disclosed so far showing President Nixon guilty of any wrongdoing in connection with the Watergate burglary or the cover-up. Ford says while the House Judiciary Committee might recommend impeachment, he does not think the House itself will go along. Treasury Secretary William Simon has arrived in Cairo to start an economic mission to the Middle East. Simon says the subject of oil, both its supply and price, will likely come up in the discussions. Now this.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. For many of the 6 million retarded Americans, these rights are not self-evident. Laws and the attitudes of society confine them to institutions or deny them their rights in the community. The right right to education and training, the right to a job for which they are qualified, the right to live where they choose, the right to marry, the right not to be sterilized. Through litigation, legislation, and administrative decisions, changes are taking place. If there is still discrimination against this silent minority in your state, become concerned. Contact your local association for retarded citizens or write President's Committee on Mental Retardation, Washington, D.C., 20201.
This is Bastille Day, and Frenchmen will have a parade, but it will be different this year, now that the Gaullists are no longer in power. The annual parade commemorating the start of the French Revolution will not follow the usual course down the fashionable Champs-Élysées. It will return to the site of the infamous Bastille prison instead. Conservative President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing says he wanted Bastille Day to become more a festival of liberty, a popular event which he says had tended to get lost. Doug Poling, CBS News.